Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, just for a few moments this afternoon, I would like to read two passages of Scripture with you, please. The first one you'll find in John chapter 19. Very familiar passages of the Word of God, John chapter 19. I suppose for those of us, to put a little context on my message this afternoon, for those of us who were here this morning, for our remembrance of our Lord Jesus Christ, more than once, there was a little phrase mentioned in the meeting, and it was, "Behold the man." And this afternoon, just for the few minutes we have at our disposal, we would want to just behold the man. And we're going to read the context of those three words in John chapter 19, verse number 1. And it says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe. And they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.'" We're going to go back now to Luke's account of the same day in history, the day of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to read Luke's account of a slightly different timing, but at verse number 38, Luke chapter 23, and we're going to commence reading there at verse number 38. "And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Hebrew and Latin, 'This is the King of the Jews.' And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, 'If thou be Christ, save thyself and us.' But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, 'Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise.' And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into thy hands I command my spirit.' And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now, when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, 'Certainly this was a righteous man.'" And we trust again this afternoon that the Lord will bless to us this very familiar reading from his precious word. There's no disputing, if you read through the gospel accounts of the Lord Jesus Christ, that wherever he went, he attracted attention. That wherever he went, there seemed to be crowds who were there. And very often written down on the page of Holy Scripture by the gospel writers was the reaction either of individuals or groups of people to seeing this man that they called Jesus. And again, we have read this afternoon, as I have said, the focus of my message is three words, "Behold the man." But what I've tried to do is, on that historic day, on what perhaps was one of the darkest days in human history, when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, we have read the reaction of some of the groups of people as they carried out what Pilate said and they beheld the man. Now, there are groups of people who, while yes, it was 2,000 years ago, and they were in a very individual and unique position, can I tell you that their reactions are reactions which are mirrored in 2025? And perhaps even as we go through the reactions of these people, we will be able to, and we're going to stop. And as I say, behold the man, and that's something that I want everyone to take away from this today, right from the youngest to the oldest. It can't be hard to remember three little words, which is, behold the man. And as we stop and we try and classify ourselves, and just to see which one of these groups of people we would fall into, as we would behold the man. You know, if we turn first to John chapter 19, there are many groups of people. We're just going to select a couple of them out, and we're going to think about these soldiers. What was their reaction? You know, it tells us that they smote the Lord Jesus Christ. Further on down, it tells us that they cast lots for his vesture. We're going to write a little tighter over him. You know, they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, in 2025, can I tell you, there are many people in Dunfermline. There are many people, and they would mock the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we're going to think about the Jews as a nation as a whole, but on this day represented by their leaders, people who should have known better. And what was their reaction as they beheld the man? You know, they wanted to murder him. They said, crucify him, crucify him. We want absolutely nothing to do with him. Can I tell you, that's another great swathe of humanity today. That hasn't gone away in the 2,000 years since they stood before the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many today. And they would prefer it if the Lord Jesus Christ was just wiped off the face of the earth. Then we go to Pilate himself. And what was his reaction? This time he didn't want to mock the Lord Jesus. He didn't want to murder him. He just wanted someone else to make the decision. Because we read there in verse number six, he said, well, take ye him. And perhaps there's even some in this meeting. And you know, it's a great thing when you think, you can look at people who would mock the Lord Jesus and you would say, well, I wouldn't do that. I come to the gospel hall every Sunday afternoon. There's absolutely no way that I would mock him. And maybe you wouldn't even fall into the category, say, I want nothing to do. I just want nothing. And I wish he wasn't here. Perhaps you're one of these ones and you would say, you know, just let someone else make the decision. Let's put it off. Let's not have to deal with, behold, the man. The sad reality for Pilate on that day was that the Lord Jesus Christ was there, and he was. And, you know, he'd led him out, and he did put the Lord Jesus Christ to death on that day. But you know, it all sounds gloom. It all sounds desperately bad. But if we go back to Luke chapter 23, there we have read a wonderful, the wonderful passage of scripture, and there we have read about two men who managed to grasp something of who this man actually was. We've read about a poor malefactor, someone who had been sentenced to death for his crime. And he acknowledges that he was wrong. He acknowledges that he was where actually he should be. And he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and perhaps he had only met him a matter of minutes or a matter of hours previously. And he said, we indeed justly, but this man, he has done nothing amiss. And he acknowledged something of the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we look down, and finally we'll look at this centurion, and he could only look up and say, and as he had witnessed what the Lord Jesus Christ and how he had conducted himself, even on that one day, he said, surely this was a righteous man. This was someone who was holy. This was someone who was pure. And this was someone who was absolutely unique and different. And my prayer would be in this gospel meeting this afternoon that someone could come to an acknowledgement, number one, of the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This man hath done nothing amiss. And to acknowledge something of his wonder and his purity. Yes, this was a righteous man. Behold the man. Can we start off this afternoon? Just ask everyone. Yes, we don't see the Lord Jesus Christ physically as Pilate saw him, or as the soldiers saw him, or as the Jews had the privilege of seeing him, or even as the malefactor or the centurion saw him. But we can see him today through the page of Holy Scripture, through the inspired Word of God. We can see the one, the Holy Son of God. And as we behold the man, which one of these categories do you fall into this afternoon? Are you a mocker? Are you someone who wants nothing to do? Are you someone who just wants to put it off? Or perhaps there are many in this room this afternoon, and you can go back to a time in your life when you acknowledged something of the wonder and the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ and came to an acknowledgement, yet yes, he hung upon the cross, and not for his sins, not for the sins that he had committed, but the sins of a guilty, hell-deserving world, more importantly that, for my sins. And I thank God today as I stand here that I can go back to a day in my life where I appreciate it for the first time. I turned away from the mockery. I turned away from the murdering. I turned away from the putting it off. And I appreciated that the Lord Jesus Christ, he had died for me. As I said before, our prayer from every Christian in this room, and my prayer standing on this platform this afternoon, that every single person that walks out that door at the end of the meeting will have that appreciation, can behold the man for who he really is. And who was this man that stood before Pilate on that day? How had he managed to end up in a situation like that? Well, can I tell you that this man was the man that they called Jesus. This man was a man that had been born in Bethlehem. This man that for 3.5 years had preached in Galilee, had told people about their sinfulness and their wickedness, and he had caused an awful lot of division because he had told people what they really were. Yes, what they really were in the sight of a holy God, and the responsibility of anyone who speaks about the gospel, who tells people about God, is to tell them of how they really are in the sight of a holy God. And the Bible tells us, right from the start of the Bible to the end of the Bible, we could go through many passages of Scripture that tells us how we are in the sight of a holy God. But I suppose the most familiar one that I'm sure we all know, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, that most humbling of verses, which says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The psalmist David, he would say that we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. And that's the way each and every one is born as sinners and born with our backs toward God, born with a natural ambition just to be like the soldiers, just to be like the Jews, born to be away from God. And as we look out around about us in the town of Dunfermline today, or wherever it is that you come from, wherever it is that you live, there are many, many people that fall into that category, because the Bible specifically tells us that the way to destruction, that the way of sinners, it's a broad way. There are many people who are on that way. And it also speaks about a narrow way, and it says that few there be that find it. It's a narrow way. There's only a few people that are on it, but there is a broad way that leads to destruction today. Behold the man. Behold the man. And as you answer in faithfulness today, and as we think about who this man is, can you honestly say that you have an appreciation of not only who he was, but who he is today? Because as Pilate stood there, the people had made their choice. They wanted nothing to do with him. The religious leaders of the day had plotted and they had schemed to kill him. They had plotted and schemed of how they could put him to death. And on that night before, when he was in Gethsemane in the garden, the soldiers had come along after he had been betrayed of Judas. And there they took him and they arrested him. They tried him, and 3 times they put him before Pilate to try and find a charge. And the religious leaders, they said that he had made himself as the Son of God, and he was the Son of God. Pilate, he couldn't find any fault in him, and yet the death sentence was pronounced. They put my, and as we sung in our hymn today, they nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Another hymn would say, why was he there as the bearer of sin? If on Jesus my guilt was not laid. Can I tell you, it was love that was in his heart. It was love that was in his heart for each and every one. And we know, if we had have read it this afternoon, it tells us that as the Lord Jesus Christ hung upon the cross, he was barely recognizable as a human being. He was barely recognizable as the man who was Jesus. They had beaten him. They had spat upon him. They had put the crown of thorns and the purple robe upon him. They had plucked the beard from off his face. And even in his anguish, as he was nailed by the hands and by the feet, he would look upon those who had done their worst upon him. And he would say, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." You know, this dear man, the malefactor, he appreciated something of the predicament that he was in. He understood there was absolutely nothing in that moment that he could do to help himself. The sentence of death had been pronounced upon him, just like it had upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And he looked over and he saw him hanging there. One of the malefactors, he would rail upon him and say, "If you are who you say you are, will you save yourself? And then save us and save everyone that is round about." And the other dear man came into acknowledgement that yes, actually, the wages of sin, the consequences of the wrong things that I have done, where we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man was different. Can I tell you today, and we just quoted the verse there, I'm going to quote it again, that the wages of sin is death. The consequences of doing the things that are wrong in our life, the consequences of sin is death. Not just physical death, but eternal death, which would mean separation from a holy God. And can I tell you today, the wages of sin is death. But thankfully, there's another part to the verse which says, the gift of God, it is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that dear man, he appreciated something of that. For after acknowledging that he was wrong, that he deserved to die, he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ as the only one who could help. And he said, "Lord, remember me." As he beheld that man, he knew he was different. He knew he was unique. It wasn't the physical appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ that malefactor was drawn to him. But it was one with love and compassion and mercy and grace in his heart for those that were round about him. And he said, "Lord, remember me." And it's not wonderful when we read the response from the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Thou shalt be with me in paradise." And that dear man passed from time into eternity, perhaps having committed the most heinous crime that we would ever know. And yet he passed from death unto life. He went into eternity with his sins forgiven, with the assurance that he would be with Christ forever. You know, that's the confidence of the gospel message that we preach this afternoon. That's the confidence of the gospel message that we all know and that we love so well. It is that Jesus died for me. And just at that moment, that dear malefactor, you know, he wasn't worried about his friend across the street. He wasn't worried about the centurion who stood down on the ground. He wasn't worried about the crowds of soldiers that had parted or cast lots for his raiment. He wasn't even worried about Pilate who had sentenced him to death. He said, "Lord, remember me." You know, this afternoon in this gospel meeting, I pray, as we draw near just to the end of the meeting, I pray that if you're not saved in this meeting, that you can have a personal appreciation of the Lord Jesus Christ and how he is the only one who can save your sins. Yes, he was different. Yes, he was innocent. And yet the centurion, isn't it wonderful to think he could look at him and say he was sinless. He was a righteous man. He was one who always did what was right. And can I tell you this afternoon that the one that we present to you, yes, he was a good man. Yes, he never did anything that was wrong. And if it was possible for a human being to do that, it would be absolutely wonderful. But can I tell you this afternoon, he He couldn't sin because he was God manifest in flesh. He was the one who came down from heaven. And we can behold the man this afternoon. And as we sung in our meeting this morning, the man by God approved. He was the sinless, spotless, holy Son of God, the only one who can forgive your sins, the only one who can save your soul, the only one who can give you assurance of salvation. You know, as we come to the end of the meeting, it is important that we do know that, yes, we can week by week by week come and behold the man. In the gospel meeting, most weeks by men much more able than I am to present to you the Saviour of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, we have an opportunity today. The Bible is open. The Word of God has been read. It's been spoken on. We can see him, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't guarantee that that opportunity will be available at 4:45. I can't guarantee that that opportunity will be available at 5 o'clock or even tomorrow or the day after. The Bible tells us it's now. And as this dear malefactor, as he hung upon the cross, he didn't have hours. He didn't have days. He didn't have months. He didn't have weeks or years. He knew that his life would end very, very soon. And he looked upon and beheld the man and said, "Yes, remember me." Can I tell you this afternoon, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And just as that jailer all those years ago, as he came into Paul and Silas and he would say, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer in that day, exactly the same as the answer is today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on this man. And yes, you can behold him in perfection as you can behold him in his righteousness. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Shall we pray?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.